but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Well, if you're a listener to this show, as Stephen likes to say, the BFT after dark, if you're a listener to this show, you knew yesterday that the Pac-12 was closing the loop today on their media rights deal. It raised a larger question, whether you're a Pac-12 fan or a Big Ten fan or an SEC fan. The whole day, I thought, raised a question about your viewing habits. Because I think your viewing habits are a moving target. Because we used to say, hey, you got to make it easier on the viewer. Have all your stuff be in one place. But we're in a streaming era. You've got Netflix. You've got Hulu. You've got your local TV. You got a over-the-air antenna. Viewers who channel surf will end up landing on ESPN and landing on Fox, landing on USA Network, landing, you know, you move around. Do you watch SportsCenter anymore? In this modern era, is your goal to get to the games hours early, get your TV ready? Or are you just kind of surfing around, finding the games where they are 2 minutes before kickoff? 503-417-7575. Why don't you tell me about your viewing habits as a fan? We got a lot to talk about on today's show. The NBA is asking the Players Association to end those surveys that call out general managers and call out the teams. The NFL is now following suit, asking for the same thing. They don't want the criticism. They don't want the noise. Nobody likes to be criticized. You know, even yours truly. Like, I don't like to be criticized. Who likes to be criticized? Steven, you like to be criticized?
No, I don't. I can tell you that.
But why? What is it with these sports leagues where they're especially kind of sensitive? You know, they get in their feelings a little bit, and they're like, hey, we don't want the players to be doing these surveys that say who are the bad teams. The NFL would like the NFL Players Association to stop it. The NBA is already on record saying they would like their league to stop doing this stuff, those anonymous surveys. By the way, the NFL says that the whole exercise violates the collective bargaining agreement because it airs public criticism of teams. I kind of disagree because I think like that Players Association contract is between the team and the players. But if you're simply saying, hey, this is what my team does well, and a team doesn't grade very highly, are they being criticized, or are they being just, you know, are the good teams being set aside as, hey, these teams got favorable report cards, and guess what? The New York Jets got an F in all things. I like that these things come out because I think there's a certain level of credibility and accountability that is created. If you don't have the right training staff, if you don't take care of players' families, if your support staff isn't doing a good job, this is a way for the Players Association to keep the NFL honest. And it's same goes for the NBA. Keeps the league honest. I like these things. I like sunshine. I'm not as interested in the message as I am, as I am interested in knowing the truth. Like, I don't need the message to be positive. You know, if we're doing something bad, let us know. Please, by all means, reach out. Call that customer service line. You ever done that? Call a customer service line and then you find out, you know, you're not really even getting a person in the end. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. We got a great show today. We're going to be talking to a president today. Portland State's president, Ann Cudd, will be joining us on the show. Very excited about this interview. Ann Cudd coming on the show. Stephen, are you excited about the president at Portland State? You're going to hear her interview. I taped it earlier today. It's a doozy.
I'm excited for it, John, because it's one of those things where you've been talking about how you've been trying to, you know, get her on for a while. It just hasn't worked out. So I do wonder, like, is that, like, addressed? Do they talk about, I just kind of want to avoid you, or, you know, things happen and all that kind of stuff? I don't know. I want to hear what everyone has to say, because I feel like, you know, if you're Portland State, you should want to market yourself. You should want to
100%.
Go to a radio station that wants to boost your school up and boost your programs up. And I feel like Portland State has not taken advantage of that.
I think they've done a poor job, an epically poor job in the last 8 months, 9 months of marketing what they have going on in basketball, marketing what they have going on in football. I'm going to tell you, in years past, I heard from the athletic directors at that school over the years, whether it be Valerie Johnson or John Johnson, Valerie Cleary, Tori Chisholm. I can go back over the years, and like, we regularly heard from the athletic director. It's the athletic director's job at Portland State to get out front and talk about the products and market the products to the public. And look, and I'm not tooting our own horn here, but there is one radio show in the entire region that reaches all corners of the state. There's only one show in the state of Oregon that gets to Southern Oregon in Medford and gets to Bend in Central Oregon. It gets to Klamath Falls. It gets to Salem. That gets into Southern Washington. It's in Eugene. That is on the Oregon coast in Newport. That's in Corvallis. There's only one show that reaches all places. The University of Oregon understands that. That's why when Rob Mullins, the AD at Oregon, wants really to get out and get a message out, I hear from Oregon. They go, hey, Rob Mullins would like to come on the show. He wants to talk about, you know, the fact that they've got tickets available for this weekend's game or whatever. Okay, I understand that his purpose and his objective is he wants to tell fans, hey, you can go get tickets still. There's some tickets available. Oregon State, same way. Scott Barnes, the athletic director at Oregon State, he ain't dumb. When he knows that Trent Bray has been let go and fired as his coach and it's a Sunday, he wants to do one interview. Who's he doing that interview with? He's not calling anybody but yours truly, because he knows I can get to everybody with one interview. And that is the objective. University of Portland, Scott Lakem. I reached out to Lakem this week. I said, what do you guys have going on? He said, hey, by the way, I was just about to reach out to you because we have some things going on in the next couple of weeks that I want to talk about. And I'm interested in talking about it. He's got soccer. He's got basketball. They got an NCAA tournament home match. They got a 3-day men's basketball tournament coming up at University of Portland. So Scott Lakem, because he's smart, is reaching out to me going, hey, I have some things going on. And while some traditional media outlets, by no fault of their own, are shrinking and are understaffed and have become less relevant, these people know, hey, we've got to work a little harder to get to the public. And so they're using this radio show and they're using me as that conduit. And they know that they can get to as many people with one bang for their buck, so to speak. Portland State has done a terrible job of getting to you as a consumer. And I can tell you, the only reason you're hearing Bruce Barnum every week is because Bruce Barnum and I said, hey, can we do this? And Mike Lund, his communications guy, said, can we do this? Yes, we'll orchestrate this. This isn't the athletic director putting this deal together. It's us on this show going every week. You know, let's do one interview. Okay, that's one present. How about Jace Coburn, the men's basketball coach? Guess what? He reached out to me in the last week or two, and he said, hey, I think we have a really good team. And I go, I agree. You have a really good team. Let's make sure we get you on this year. Okay. Shante Liggins, University of Portland. He'll do the same thing. Kelly Graves. He has something big going on. He'll drop me a text. Scott Ruick at Oregon State. Hey, I got this we have a big event coming up. Okay. Let's talk about it. Dan Lanning, Oregon. Dan Lanning's not dumb. Dan Lanning knows, when it's a big game and there's a big opportunity, he wants his voice out there. This isn't the flagship station of the University of Oregon. And in fact, it's the opposite of that. We're not the Oregon Ducks flagship. Why does Dan Lanning insist on coming on this show? It isn't because he likes me. It's because he knows I can reach more people in more corners of the state. Why in the world has Portland State's athletic director gone into witness protection since he got hired? I don't understand it. I think it's just atrocious. I think it's an egregious professional failure by the athletic director at Portland State. I can't believe how absentee the guy has been. And maybe, I keep thinking, maybe it's me. Maybe it's just he doesn't like me. And that's okay. I'm not for everyone. But then I start asking around, and I start talking to people in the community. Hey, at this certain community event, you know, do the AD show up to this? Yeah, Oregon's does. Oregon State's does. University of Portland's does. Who's the absentee? It's Portland State over and over and over again. And I've even invited Matt Billings on this show this week, and non-responsive, just non-responsive. And so I finally just worked around him. I went to his president. I'm going to give you the full story here. I booked an interview with Ann Cudd, his president, 2 weeks ago. I let Billings know that I was going to talk to his boss. I said, hey, I've got an interview booked with your president. Really sucks. I'd love to have you on the show. What do you think he did? He tiptoed around behind the scenes, and all of a sudden I got a note from the communications person at Portland State saying, hey, you know, Matt wants to be in on this meeting. And I was like, no. Why does he want to be in on the meeting? Because he knows I'm going to tell his boss that he's non-responsive, worst AD I've ever had to deal with at Portland State. No, I'm not letting him in on that meeting. I said, she wants to do the interview one-on-one. Let's do it one-on-one. I'm not here to play office politics. Portland State's AD wants to talk to me. He's got my phone number. Use it. Show me you know how to use a phone. And so I taped an interview this morning with Ann Cudd, the president at Portland State. I asked her some hard questions, and I got to give her credit. She did the interview, and she is a sports-friendly president, but she's not the person that should be doing the interview where I ask her about the job security of the football coach. The athletic director is, and instead, Matt Billings is hiding behind the president's desk, cowered in the corner, hiding, so he doesn't have to answer the question. And so, you know, I asked her a couple of times in the interview, you know, about Bruce Barnum's job security. Is she going to make a change? Is the athletic department going to make a change? And, you know, she basically, well, you're going to hear the interview coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, but she basically, the second time I asked her, her communications person cuts me off and tries to say that they're so busy. They're so busy. They're so busy. And I get it. President is very busy at Portland State, but guess who else is busy? I'm busy. I have 3 daughters. I have a radio show. I write a sports column. Washington State fired their AD yesterday. I had to write a column on the commercial breaks yesterday during the show. You know, today, the Pac-12 at 5 o'clock in the morning announces USA Network is their media partner. Guess who's up at O-Dark 30? Me. I'm busy. You know, guess who's helping wake up the 9-year-old as she's heading off to school? That's me. I'm telling her, hey, you got to get up. You got to go to school. Make sure you get something to eat, get some breakfast. And in the end, we're all busy. Stop telling each other that you're busy. It's annoying when people do that. But you'll hear that interview coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. I want to talk about your viewing habits, though. Pac-12 announcing their media deal. USA Network will join CBS and the CW as partners on the Pac-12's deal. Wide distribution, that's obvious. No ESPN or Fox, that's evident. I think there's a little bit of a, hey, are you important to ESPN question that has to be answered. But does ESPN still hold that spot in the ecosystem? If you're not the SEC, if you're not the Big Ten to Fox, are you better off going with a CW or USA Network? Because, hey, at least you'll be really important to those entities. You're not going to be that important to ESPN or Fox. And in fact, I would offer the idea that the Pac-12 previously had a deal with ESPN and wasn't very important to ESPN, right? Because they weren't the SEC. 503-417-7575. Tell me how you read it. What has changed? Is distribution different in your hands and in your household than it ever was before? We'll take your phone calls. Also, if you want to weigh in on Portland State, I'm all ears at 417-7575. Let's go out to Canby. Steve is in the great city of Canby. What's up, Steve?
Hey, John, I'll tell you about my sports viewing habits, but first I want to say you do an amazing job, your whole crew. I recently signed up for your subscription on your call after I withheld for months, and I finally pulled the trigger. Glad I did. Anyway, you do a great job.
What was the thing? So, can I ask you, what was the moment where you said, you know what, I need to be reading this?
You know how many months I read the first paragraph of your teaser? But I couldn't get the whole column because I wasn't
the paywall. The paywall got you.
The paywall finally got me. So
there you go. All right.
Got some birthday money and said I'm buying John's subscription.
You know, it's one of the coolest things though that came out of that whole writing endeavor and taking it on my own is, you know, we do a project within johnconzano.com for seniors who are on a fixed budget. And one of the cool things, I mentioned it, I think, on Monday or Tuesday in print, is the number of seniors that get subscriptions donated for them. And so we have, you know, if you're a senior who's out there reading and you go, hey, it's not in the budget, reach out to me because we have a bunch of people who have donated subscriptions for seniors. And that program is super inspiring. But go ahead, Steve, what else is on your mind?
I can tell you it's very apparent you work your butt off, very apparent, obvious. So anyway, great job on that. But here's what's happening to my viewing. The DVR, the greatest invention in the history of mankind, I don't watch in between hikes. There's about 30 seconds in between plays. Okay. Every one of them I'm fast-forwarding. I start the day on Saturday. I pull up and see every game that's on. I record them all. And then I go back and watch them at my leisure. So I'm watching 10 games where I used to watch one. So,
Wow. Yeah,
I'm viewing everything I can. I fast forward all the Blazer games to the fourth quarter and watch the last few minutes. So,
you're getting to the point is what you're getting. Like you're basic. Stephen Canby is going, look, if you like to sit around and you enjoy second down in the second quarter, have at it. But Steve is going, I'm getting right to it. And in fact, that product exists on a lot. Like the old Pac-12 Network used to have that game they would do in an hour, or ESPN had that game that would speed up. And I always found that delightful where, you know, you look up and it's in the first quarter. You look up 5 minutes later, they're in the third quarter. And so I think there's some magic to that. I also think Steve is telling us he's got control with the remote in his hand. And I think that can't be understated. There's a lot out there. There's a lot of content out there, different providers. I think it used to be very confusing to jump from, you know, Amazon to watch a football game, to jump to Fox or NBC to watch a football game, to catch the baseball game over on this other channel. I think it used to be a lot more cumbersome. I think they've made it a lot easier to do that. The challenge I have is knowing where everything is, and I've got to look it up and be like, hey, where's the baseball game today? Or where is that football game? What channel is that on? And what time is it on? And so I do find myself expending more energy doing that. But there's an ease that we have and a comfort we have moving between platforms that did not exist before. 503-417-7575 is the number. Mike's in Seattle. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, John, I'll act like the Portland State Athletic Director, okay, for a minute. Can I role play?
Yeah. Are you busy? Are you so busy right now?
Hey, John, I want to talk to you about one of the biggest weekends we have coming up in Portland State Athletics this coming weekend. You know, we're going to play a home football game back at Providence Park. We're having all of the great alums that played football, including Mal Davis, come back. We're having, you know, a big event this whole weekend. You know, we want to get the word out. You know, when I called in, I talked to Steven. He didn't even know they were playing there this weekend. That's how silent those people are over there in the park box. I can't get it. He should be fired on the spot, just like they did at Washington State. If he can't talk to the press and advertise that athletic department in that school, it's the front door to the school, right? That's what they all say?
Yep.
What's wrong with that guy? Why doesn't he want to come on? Is he nervous?
I don't know. And I don't know if it's that he doesn't want to answer a hard question about his football coach, or does he just not understand it? But the picture I'm getting as I talk to a lot of people around town in fundraising circles and important board meetings that he should be involved in, is that he's just not a comfortable, externally faced person. And, you know, I think
you know
his...
Mark Masseri, remember him?
Yes.
Mark Masseri would have been great.
Yeah, I believe he was a finalist.
He'd be out at every luncheon, every fundraiser. He'd be talking on the radio. You know, they got to make a change.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if they're tuned in. I frankly don't know if they're tuned in. I also think it's funny that it's Thursday, okay? You don't begin your promotion of your Saturday event on Thursday. I'm just kind of shaking my head at it as well, because 2 weeks ago, I reached out to the president of Portland State and said, hey, I can't get the AD to come on the show. I would love to talk to the president about the game that is going on the 15th, Saturday the 15th, 2 o'clock. They're playing Montana. They're at Providence Park. Seems like a big deal. And they said, great, she can do the 13th. You know? Like, why not come on and, like, you know, last Thursday? Give it some runway. You know, you don't start the promotion of this event, you know, on the Thursday. And so I literally, you're going to hear it in the interview in the 4 o'clock hour. I literally say to her, you know, we're really just talking to people who right now don't have any plans for Saturday because you've lost your window for planning. You've lost your window for promotion. Anybody listening to this can tell you, like, if you're running a summer camp, you don't start advertising the summer camp on the first day of summer. Parents have already made their plans for their kids and their camps all summer long. You have to start promoting the camp and taking those signups, as Camp Exceptional does, in January and February, and then maybe in March and April, you start to get some stragglers. But parents start to make plans and go, okay, that third week in July, this is going to be one camp you go to, and then you're going to go to this outdoor camp. And that's what parents do. You get way, way, way in front of it. You know, you're not making your Thanksgiving plans 2 days before Thanksgiving. And Portland State is sitting here on a Thursday going, hey, you should come out to our game on Saturday. Where was this weeks ago? Where was this months ago? They left it all to Bruce Barnum. He did what he could. The football product hasn't been good at Portland State. But I'll tell you what's been worse. The marketing. The marketing, if it's possible, has been worse. Now, Stephen, I'm going to get accused now. I know this. I'm going to go to commercial break. I'm going to look at my phone, and it's going to be people at Portland State going, hey, you're being unfair to us. You're being unfair. I feel like I've been so patient with Portland State, and I'm left here going, nobody else cares. Nobody else is talking about you. Television stations, like, you know, some TV reporters in the market, like Nick Krupke over at KPTV, he'll come out and cover them. You know, you got K2, they'll come out, you know, and cover the event. Everybody will come cover the event. But, you know, I'm over here talking about Portland State year round, writing about Portland State. Why are they not trying to promote their Saturday game more than 2 days ahead of time? I don't get it. I don't get it.
And you are the one that has had both the men's basketball coach and the football coach on your show this week. Like, that's the thing, is you have been promoting Portland State for years, ever since I've been here. Like, Bruce Barnum's come on every single week to talk about it. And now,
people have told me I'm wasting airtime. People have said, you need to be talking about the Ducks and the Beavers.
Right. So, you know? So Portland State can say you're being unfair all they want to. Well, then they're not paying attention to what their actual coaches are doing, because if not for you, they're not getting any of their promotions out there anyways.
I got in an argument one time with one of the rival radio stations, one of the hosts on the rival radio station. It wasn't like a bad argument. It was just like a kind of a friendly debate. And I said, you know, I'm more into the local stuff. I'm into talking about the high school football playoffs and the high school games and talking about UP and PSU and, you know, and I'm not going to ignore Oregon and Oregon State. Of course not. Like, you know, I'm there. I'm at the Penn State Oregon game on the road. I'll be in Washington for the Husky game. I'll be at Oregon State's game against Washington State. Like, I'm going to get to all these places, but I'm not going to ignore the stuff. And the other host told me, if you do that, your show will last about 2 months and you'll be off air. And I'm still here, but I'm still here. Something must be going right. Either I have the most amazing agent, and I probably do, or maybe the listeners are more tuned into this stuff than other people realize. And maybe what we shouldn't be doing is we shouldn't just be doing what ESPN.com does, which is just pandering to the lowest common denominator. What do they do? You look at their top stories today. I haven't even looked at it, but I'm going to guarantee you that at least two of the top six or seven stories will have a New York angle. There'll be some kind of Yankee story. There'll be some kind of Jets story. There'll be some kind of, you know, it'll have a New York bent to it. Guaranteed that, you know, it'll be the Knicks, it'll be the Jets, it'll be the Yankees. There'll be some kind of, like, I'm not even there, Stephen. If you go to ESPN.com right now and test my theory, you tell me, like, how many New York-related stories are in their little, you know, their little ticker that has like the top 10 stories, the top headlines of the day. And by the way, this is what ESPN's telling us the top headlines are. Why? Because they're the biggest markets. They're pandering to the biggest markets. It's the tail wagging the dog. This is not the biggest news. No, no. This is the biggest markets, and ESPN's going, we got to have New York in here. How many New York-related stories are in that top 10?
Well, the main thing on there is a picture of Drake May because the Jets are playing the Patriots.
That makes sense.
So that makes a little sense. But on the side there, I see two. I see a Jalen Brunson grade one ankle sprain, and I see...
Who cares? Who cares if Jalen Brunson has an ankle sprain?
Well, you'll care even less about this one. The Jets play star wide receiver Garrett Wilson on IR with a knee injury.
Nobody cares.
The Jets are 2-7. We don't care.
Okay. So the Knicks and the Jets both have a presence in that top 10. Where's the story about the Titans? Anything about the Titans there? No?
No.
No? Are they not important? You know, like, and literally, I'm here to tell you, like, it's the tail wagging the dog, and it's sick to me that we do this, because what happens is everybody allows ESPN to kind of dictate what is newsworthy. No stories about, you know, the Indianapolis Colts up there?
No.
Denver Broncos, really good story. Those are two good stories in the AFC. They're in first place, both those teams.
Not maybe Nikola Jokic scoring 55 last night, making it look really easy.
It's not big enough.
Hey,
it's,
John, I want to throw this out here real quick. We had a caller just call in and was defending Portland State a little bit. So we have Portland State defender. Eric in Vancouver said he's a Portland Timbers season ticket holder, and he said they've been promoting that game that they have on Saturday for Portland
State.
With the Timbers games a ton during their games, and they're actually offering like free scarves and free gifts if people do purchase gifts or games. Take us to the Portland State game on Saturday.
Okay, so they're marketing.
They've done it to the Timbers fans.
But I would argue that's not Portland State, because what happens is Portland State is paying the Timbers, and, you know, because they're using that venue, they're a customer. And I'm going to venture to say that part of that deal is that within the Timbers games, there needs to be promotion. And I also know, look, they reached out to some of their sponsors, like Columbia Sportswear. Tim Boyle at Columbia is a huge supporter of Bruce Barnum. They are buddies. And Boyle has donated like 3,000 tickets to go to underprivileged kids and families in the community. Like, I think the number actually is going to be okay in the stadium, but it's not going to be what it could be. And here's the other thing. I don't even care what they draw. I care more about the process, because if this Portland State team was really good, I think they draw more. Right? More, there'd be more interest there, that by virtue of the fact that, you know, they're a good football team. But the fact that they're not promoting the show organically, that they're leaning on, let's go to the Timbers and have them promote the game, and say, that's fine. Get those consumers back into the building. But I am frustrated with what I see at Portland State. I think the athletic director is an empty suit. Jerry's in Clackamas. Go ahead.
Hey, John, I'm just kind of wondering, because I sort of have this attitude that the leadership of the university, i.e. presidents, have not been, maybe don't see themselves as a sports school in many ways at all. So maybe you could get, from the heyday, Mouse Davis. I think he's still alive at 93.
And there's some frustration, though. There's some frustration with some of the players of that era feel like they're being used, and Mouse Davis is getting trotted out here as, you know, let's help Portland State sell some tickets, and it's covering up the real problem at Portland State is that, you know, they don't have a good marketing arm, and they're not invested. And here's the dirty little secret. Portland State is asking the athletic director to cut money from the budget in the next two fiscal years. Okay? They're gonna try to cut money from the budget. The president on campus is being asked to cut money by fiscal year 2028. All right? So both the AD and the president are being asked to like cut. Who's gonna take this job? Like, if we're being real, like, you know, if a coach with options gets offered the Portland State job, and it's not Bruce Barnum. Let's say they fire Bruce Barnum at the end of the season. Coach gets offered the job. Who's taking the job? I'm left kind of scratching my head going, who would take the job knowing that you have half scholarships? Who would take the job knowing that you are, got an athletic department budget that's like half of what the Montana schools have. You have no NIL. You have, you know, some student fees. There, you know, the student fees at Portland State are not bad. Like, you know, the institutional support. I actually think the institutional support from Portland State is not bad. But the problem is the athletic director at Portland State has to be external focused. Got to be in the community. Everybody should know the AD at Portland State. Everybody should be like, there's that crazy old AD again. All he is running around to every community event, every high school, every... Gosh, he's everywhere, that guy. And instead, he's absent. I don't think you know what he looks like. I don't know if I would know what he looks like. I am struggling with this mightily. Josh is in Vancouver. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, John. You're touching on kind of something that just gave me a thought. So when you're talking about, you know, the president of Portland State and, you know, having to do cutbacks and things like that. Listen, I got to be honest with you. So I have twin daughters. They're 18 years old. They're both graduating high school early. They just signed their intents to go to college to play soccer. And so my wife and I have had this kind of interesting exposure to college sports recently, where both of the universities that my kids are going to be going to have talked about, one is a D1 school, not Power 5, the other one's a D2 school in Alabama. Both of those schools have talked about how they're being asked to cut money out of their budgets. I bring that up to say that I don't think that what you're saying is unique to Portland State, or really any universities in this region. But I do think what you're talking about is a bigger picture issue with the schools who are the haves and the have-nots, and the media rights dollars that are investing in only the universities that they think are important versus the ones that are not, and the sports that matter and the sports that don't. And so I'm not trying to give the Portland State
no,
AD a
free pass. No, you're making a good point.
I feel like he is doing, I'm in 100% agreement with you that he is doing a horrendous job of doing what the most basic role he has is, which is promoting his university and his athletics. And I understand that Portland State is not having the best season. Coach Barnum comes on graciously every week to try to do the best that he can. He knows he's rolling a football team out there that's getting their nose bloodied every week. And it's not easy to promote that. But on the same token, it is 100 times harder for that man to do his job and to be encouraged and excited about the program that he's coaching for and the school that he's at when he doesn't get the support from his administration. So you have this cyclical kind of circumstance of the universities don't have the money anymore. They're trying to figure out how to fund things. Now you have these lame duck coaches in these sports that may exist, may not exist. I think this is kind of just the tip of the iceberg for a lot of these universities. And a lot of them, John, I got to say, I think many of them will go away from having sports and offering sports, including schools that have football. So,
this is a really
bummer deal. But thank you for bringing up this topic and having a – I'm really looking forward to what Ann Cutt has to say later because I'm very curious about –
And look, I don't blame her. We taped the interview earlier today. I'm glad she did it. You know, I'm not knocking her. At least she came on. It's not easy to come on as a president and come on this show, even though I've had the presidents at Oregon State and other places. She came on the show at least.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
That last caller made some good points. There's a crisis going on in college athletics, period, end stop. Even Oregon, there is tiers that are forming between the revenue-generating sports at Oregon and the non-revenue-generating sports at Oregon that have some people concerned. Certainly there are tiers within the Power Four between the SEC and the Big Ten, and then within the SEC and the Big Ten, tiers that are forming. We're seeing new world thinking. But Ed Ray, the former president at Oregon State, said it to me in front of the Valley Football Center. We bumped into each other before a football game a couple weeks ago. He said, Alabama has the same bleeping problem that Oregon State has. It's all about external fundraising. Can you raise NIL money? If you can, you can compete. If you can't, you are toast. 503-417-7575 is the phone number. Let's go out to Bobby, who's listening to Fox Sports Eugene. What a powerhouse station that is. Fox Sports Eugene. Mm-hmm. Bobby, welcome.
I was wondering your thoughts. You've been talking a little bit about Portland State. How do you think the flamboyant personality of Jerry Glanville would have done in this new era of college football with the NIL and his personality? You think it would have changed anything with him and his how he did?
When Glanville was interviewed by Portland State for the job, I found out Glanville was over on campus. And I went over to Portland State's campus and got in touch with Glanville, and I kidnapped him. I literally kidnapped him, Stephen. I got on the phone with Glanville, and I told him to meet me on this such-and-such corner of campus on the park blocks, and I picked him up in my car. Weird thing, because I had never met Jerry Glanville before in person. And I pulled over, and he got into my car. I had a car seat in the back. I had young daughters and kid toys in the car. I had to kind of clean it up before he got in the car. And I remember picking up Glanville, and I drove him. It was a rainy day, much like today. And I drove Glanville down to Pioneer Place Mall at the center of the city. And we parked in the parking garage, and we went into the mall. And we walked around the mall, and I expected people to recognize I was walking around with Jerry Glanville at the mall in Portland. And maybe a diehard football fan would have seen that and gone, oh my gosh, there's Jerry Glanville. I remember him. He coached in the NFL, big personality. By and large, what I found was people didn't know who he was. And the kid that was working at the kiosk, like the mobile phone kiosk, I don't remember if it was Verizon or whatever it was back in the day, AT&T, I don't know what it was. I walked by him with Glanville. And I said to the kid, I said, do you know who this is? Kid looked at him blankly. Nope. And I wondered at that point, would Jerry Glanville have resonated? What is he going to resonate with recruits? Or was it too long ago? Now, he's a personality. I think he could have done okay from an NIL standpoint, because I think some donors would have opened their checkbooks for Glanville. But there's nothing that greases the checkbooks better than winning. And if you don't win, I think the checkbooks don't open. And the problem at Portland State, it is a chicken and egg, you know, cycle that is going on. I think, do you have a collective? No. Why? Well, because they don't win. Well, that's why they don't win, because they don't have a collective. It becomes this cycle that you know, feeds upon itself. And I think you have to have somebody internally at your university who is really good externally. And I think, to the caller's point, had you got Glanville out and got him with a bunch of business owners that were in their 50s and 60s, I think he would have resonated. And I think they would have said, oh, I'll support Jerry Glanville. Oh, yes, I'll give to the NIL collective. But that's what your job is as the AD. You can't hide in your office and close your door and not talk to anybody, and listen to sports radio and get your feelings hurt. You have to get out. You have to talk to people. You have to go to board meetings. You should be at the Sport Oregon board meetings every week, talking with Jim Edsel, talking with community leaders. Go to the Portland Business Alliance board meetings. Go and introduce yourself to people and get out and stop hiding in your office. And so I think you need a personality, but you also need, you know, somebody young and energetic that can connect with the recruits. You know, I don't know. Stephen, Jerry Glanville moved the needle for an 18-year-old kid in this era? I don't think he does.
Probably not anymore, no. I do remember back in the day, though, it was kind of a big deal that they brought Jerry Glanville in, because that was like the talk. Like, you talked about ESPN. Like, ESPN talked about it, because it was like, oh, this former NFL guy is going to Portland State. And so, yeah, I think, I don't know about nowadays if that makes a move. Like, Bill Belichick to North Carolina didn't make a move. So I don't think a guy like Jerry Glanville.
It's getting better, though. The Belichick thing's starting to trend better.
I mean, yeah, because the ACC stinks so bad. And he's finally playing some of those ACC
beat
teams.
Beat Stanford.
Hey, John, I do want to mention this also. I got a source here, some Portland State sources here. They wanted me to mention also that Portland State pulled their local broadcasting back in 2019. So the only broadcasters that will be at the game on Saturday is Montana's radio and TV people. Portland State has no representation, radio or TV, at the game on Saturday.
Okay, yeah.
Just got some sources.
I'm not saying I want the job as athletic director at Portland State, because I think it's not a great job. Okay, let's face that. But if you put a gun to my head and said, you have to be the AD at Portland State, one of the first things I'm doing is I'm going, okay, where can I get our games broadcast? Where in the business, like what are the top 100 business owners I need to talk to? And in my first 100 days, I'm talking to them. What are the relationships I have to have? I think Portland State is worried a little bit about losing the support of Tim Boyle and Columbia Sports, where they should be. The relationship is between Boyle and Bruce Barnum. Tim Boyle's a fisherman, and he's a hunter, and Bruce Barnum is a fisherman, and he's an outdoors guy. And there's a connection that Boyle and Barnum have that should have been feasted upon by the athletic director there at Portland State. I don't know. I bet you I've talked to Tim Boyle more often than the Portland State president. What? I've had like four times in the last year I've talked to Tim Boyle. I bet you I bet the AD at Portland State hasn't had one conversation. I would bet that.
That's the thing, is like it seems like almost an impossible job. Right? And if you do a good job, it'd be one of those jobs where like, okay, well, we'll go somewhere else where it's a lot easier than it is at Portland State.
Like, you're talking about the AD job?
Yeah, the AD job. Yeah. Just like any
high
coach.
It's
like
a high wire act in high winds.
Just like pretty much any coach there at Portland State, where if you do a good job, it's like, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm going somewhere easier. So it's like, it is. Yeah,
Jace Coburn, he has a good year this year. If I'm the AD at Portland State, I'd be talking to his agent right now. Guess what? Guess whose agent is frustrated with Portland State's AD? Just saying.
Man,
just saying.
Portland State needs to keep him, and he's awesome. He's a star coach. He's good.
Well, I'm just saying, you're gonna blow this.
But it's just like the players. Like, if the players have a good, like, it's so hard now on that level. Like, I get it. It's set up to fail. The system that has set up teams like Portland State and schools like Portland State to fail nowadays.
I think we have dedicated too much of today's show to Portland State. At this moment, we're gonna have the president on later.
It's over.
I'm gonna say this. I appreciate that she took the at bat. A lot of people wouldn't have stepped into the batter's box. And, you know, because this isn't her thing, okay? She's got a hole in her budget on her normal campus. Her AD should be doing the interview. But again, MIA. Our big splash coming up. Trent Walker, Oregon State wide receiver coming up. I got more to say about the Blazers, who are now on a win streak. The NFL. How many teams are in it? I'm looking around the NFL. I feel like everybody's 6-3, 6-4, 7-2. I feel like we got a lot of that going on in the NFL. I feel like the NFL has been largely successful in making all these teams feel like they have a chance. But are we going to get a real playoff with these teams? Or are we just going to get a bunch of, you know, teams that are a few games over 500 that are all going to get into the playoffs and serve as cannon fodder for the real contenders? We'll talk about it coming up. Leave it here. You got the BFT.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I mean, I'm not kidding. You know, the best teams in the NFL, what are we talking about? 8-2, Patriots, Colts, Broncos, 7-2 Eagles, 7-2 Seahawks or Rams. After that, it's 6-4 and 6-3 and 7-3 and 6-4. And there's a lot of muddled mess. Are the teams not as good? Are they more balanced? What is happening, Stephen, by your view in the NFL?
Well, I think a couple teams are capitalizing on bad divisions. You talk about the Patriots and Colts. Look at their divisions. I don't think their divisions are any good. I mean, the Bills have been okay this year, but they've lost a few games that they probably shouldn't have lost, and they hadn't lost in the past. I look at the AFC South as well with the Colts. You know, the Jaguars, the Titans, like the Texans, CJ Stroud's now out. Like, I just don't think that division's very good. I know Daniel Jones has been good, Jonathan Taylor's been good, but I'm still not buying those teams. It's still going to be, you know, the Ravens with Lamar Jackson and the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes. And I look at the Eagles in the NFC. I still think this is the same old teams that we've always seen that are going to advance through it. But I think some of these teams in the AFC especially have capitalized on some of their bad divisions to get their records.
Who's the best team in the NFL, by your view?
I'm going to go with the Eagles. I think it's Even though Jalen Hurts has been bad this year, I think that they are proving that they don't even need to score many points now to win games. Their defense has been really good, and I do think at some point the offense is going to heat up just a little bit. They're too talented not to. The receivers are good. The running backs are good. The line's good. Jalen Hurts has proven in the past he can throw. I think the Eagles are the best team in the NFL.
I think Eagles, Rams in the NFC. And in the AFC, I mean, is it Colts?
Chiefs. How can you go against Mahomes and the Chiefs, man?
I never will.
I never will again in my life.
5-4 Chiefs. That's how I go against them. Coming up in hour two, we'll hear from Trent Walker, Oregon State wide receiver. We will also hear from Ann Cudd, the president at Portland State. My taped interview with her earlier. I'm going to warn you right now, it ends abruptly. Is that right way to put it, Stephen? Is it an abrupt ending or?
Yeah,
you found it kind of amusing. You were kind of amused by it.
I actually find it really funny. Yeah, I would say abruptly is a good word for it.
But here's my thing. I used to be that person that would tell people I'm really busy because I am. I'm busy. I got a lot of things going on over here. Come on. Hosting a radio show, 3 daughters, but
it's how you say it. It can come off incredibly rude.
But when the president's person told me they were really busy and they had a tight schedule and that's the way they were ending the interview because she interrupts, I didn't stand for it.
A bit rude.
Oh, no, I'm busy. I'm busy. I'm busier than you are. I need to go. Not you, me. You didn't get, you know, it's like, did you offer him the job or did they turn it down?
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
Well, we found out one of my big peeves today. It's when people tell you how busy they are. I'm so busy. Do you have any other peeves, Stephen? Any pet peeves?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to think of what a good one would be right now.
Okay, why don't you hold that thought, think about it, and I want to open this up to our listeners. You heard what bugs me today, and you're going to hear it live on your radio, but it's a taped interview that's coming up at about 4:35. You're going to hear the president at Portland State, and it's not her, it's her spokesperson that says, oh, no, we got a tight schedule. We got to get going here. After I started asking questions about Bruce Barnum's contract at Portland State, to which I said, I'm busy. You think you're busy? Come on. Who's busier, me or you? But that's my peeve. I would like to hear your peeve. 503-417-7575. What bugs you? Bugs me when people say how busy they are. And you know what? Full disclosure, I used to be that guy. I used to be that guy that walked around going, I'm so busy. Oh my gosh, I have so much going on. I'll tell you what. You know who the busiest person in the world is? It's a working mom. A working mom that's dealing with an office and a boss and a job. And then probably coming home and going, you know what? Kids. Dealing with kids, dealing with a significant other, dealing with the dog, dealing with the cat, if you have a cat, if you're a cat person. A working mom, I think a working mother is the busiest person on the planet. And then we go from there. Maybe a head football coach is second, you know? Maybe a D coordinator after that. I don't know. 503-417-7575. Tell me what bothers you. Trent Walker, Oregon State wide receiver, coming up later this segment. We'll play Punch It Audio later as well. Stephen, have you settled on that thing that bothers you?
Well, one thing I was thinking about is when I go to a movie, because I hadn't been to a movie theater in a long time until I have kids again, so now we're back a little bit more often. But after the movie, when everyone like claps after the movie and the credits show, I hate that. I hate it. like the people who made the movie can't hear you. They can't understand that you
bothers clap. You.
It bothers me so badly. I don't know why it does, but I get mad, and Coach Vaughn then gets mad at me for being mad.
I'll tell you what I do. We got some callers who are calling in. I'd love to hear from people. What bothers you? 503-417-7575. Get it off your chest. Talk about it here. Get it out in the open. What is it that bothers you?
Steven says clapping in the movie theater, big problem for him, which means if Steven and I are in the movie theater, as the credits start to roll, I'm leaning over to Steven and I'm slapping him on the wrist to make it look like he's clapping. Cause that's what I would, that's what I would do to Steven. All right. I have other ones that bother me, but I want to hear from you. Rick has called in. Rick, what bugs you?
You got family movie night going on. It's a, you've got this fully planned out, snacks and everything. Great movie. And two of your teenagers and your wife are on the couch with their phones the entire time.
Oh.
Drives me nuts.
Put it away. Put it away. You got to walk around with a basket before the movie and collect all the devices.
John, I'm going to tell them that that's what you said.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That I don't know if my opinion holds any weight in Rick's household, but he's going to try it. Let's go to Albuquerque, New Mexico. Michael in Albuquerque listening to the show. You must be streaming it. What's up, Mike?
I stream it all the time, but I'm a loyal, proud duck. Went to U of O. People that walk around at the park talking to their cell phone on speaker as if the rest of us need to be invested in whatever dialogue they're having. It's terrible form. And it seems to be following me around. Quickly, though, the other pet peeve I have is the SEC thinking that these college football rankings are equitable. And this is why where they slot the teams at the beginning of the year is important.
Yeah.
Because now we're never going to know why the SEC got five teams in or maybe six. Because they're all in there ranked. And Notre Dame, give me a break. Miami pushed them around, and they're right behind the Ducks. That is wrong. Steven and I agreed yesterday. We pushed Iowa around. And guess what? That offense will travel. John, imagine in a month they're playing in a better weather environment, and they have a white-hot running game because of the weather. It's going to be wet again on Friday night in Austin. And now we get all our receivers back. Dante can take the top off. This team, I'm not saying they're going to win it, but they could. There is not an elite team. Ohio State has not played anyone. And Indiana, that is the worst game I've seen the Ducks play in Austin in a long time. If we get back on the field with them, we will be ready to box. So don't walk around and talk on your cell phones, people. No one else cares what you have to say.
Yeah, nothing worse than that.
Sure.
I'll tell you what's worse than talking on your cell phone is being on a FaceTime call in a public place where you're just kind of walking around like you're live broadcasting in the grocery store.
What's even worse than that is when you're sitting somewhere and someone has a commercial play or like music is playing from their phone. I was at the pharmacy today picking up some medicine for Coach Vaughn, and some guy walked in and, you know, a Little Caesars ad came on. Just, and he's like fumbling the phone. I'm like, dude, like, get it under control before you walk into the building.
I have a neighbor whose car alarm goes off every day. Every day, clockwork, in the morning. I don't know what he's doing with his keys. I don't know what's going on over there, but his car alarm goes off, and he doesn't hear it. And it just goes beep, 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 and I go, there he is. There it is again. That drives me crazy. 503-417-7575.
Another one that drives me crazy, John, is in sports when anyone talks about stats and they just put it in analytics. They say, oh, analytics said this. Like, it's a bad word. It's like, we all like stats. We all like to see how many points someone averages or, you know, what someone's completion percentage is in football. Like,
yeah.
But everyone just says, oh, analytics. You know, all analytics is just stats. That's all it is. Throw it all in there.
I've been on a number of Zoom calls in the last month with a bunch of different media companies like Netflix, Instagram. I had a call with Meta, who was talking to me about some of their products. These companies are trying to get me to do more on their platforms, right? And the terms that keep coming up are, they like to throw around the term vertical. This has got vertical to it, meaning this has upside to it. And I'm like, just say upside. And then the other one is zeitgeist.
What?
I'm not even sure what zeitgeist means, but it keeps coming up. And they use it in terms of kind of saying, like, you know, this is the general the zeitgeist of the times, which means like the spirit or the mood of the time, right?
The vibes.
You're capturing the zeitgeist of the Big Ten football in the 1990s. You're talking about Michigan and Ohio State in a tug of war.
So it has
right?
to be in the past.
Yeah, or the zeitgeist of this current time.
Okay.
You know, the zeitgeist of this current time is, you know, let's have the shoulder programming of the conferences push a narrative that maybe isn't all that accurate. Like, but zeitgeist comes up a lot. I never heard it used before. I've heard it like 3 times in the last 3 weeks. And then the vertical. People can tell you, well, it's got a lot of vertical to it. And I'm like, it's got upside? Like, you know, there's a ceiling? What are we talking about here? By the way, the fact that these companies are talking to me tells you that these companies are in big competition with each other. So there's some of that going on as well. They're not too busy for me. You know, Portland State's president's not too busy for me. I'll tell you who else isn't too busy for me. Jason Eck, the New Mexico football coach, did an interview with him earlier this week. Trent Walker, the Oregon State wide receiver, is coming up in just a couple of minutes. He's going to join us in the middle of this segment. I'm going to ask him what bothers him. What peeves does he have? Who else isn't too busy for me? Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner. Not too busy for me. Who else isn't too busy? Bob Thompson, the former Fox Sports Network's president. Not too busy for me. But I'm just saying, like, you know, there are some people who are some pretty important people who are working this show into their schedule. Let's go to Bend, Oregon. John and Bend, you're not too busy for me. What's going on?
Hey, John. Hey, first I need a quick favor, and that is to hear that Ann Cudd interview before the local blowtorch switches over to the NFL pregame. So
you're gonna get it at about 23 minutes. It's gonna air.
Oh, nice. Okay, and hey, my pet peeves would be saying escape when you mean escape. And then, Steve, I love you, brother, but it is the Jacksonville Jaguars, not the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's what I got, guys.
Not the Jaguars either, like the Jaguars. So there it is. Not the Jaguars, Steven. Get it straight.
I try to say Jags only because I know I can't say Jaguars very well.
There are some words that we all have words that we struggle with. Like everybody has a word or two that they struggle to use. It's like song lyrics. There are people who have listened to songs for years, and then they don't really know the lyrics of the songs.
Tell you what, though, I wasn't offended that he called me out. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's good. He's listening good. To you. He's paying attention to what you're doing. Trent Walker, the Oregon State wide receiver, is joining us now. I'm going to ask Trent Walker, okay? I want him to think about this because he can probably hear me when he's on hold. I'm going to ask him if he has a peeve. Because my peeve, as I have pointed out, is when people say, I'm so busy. Other people get mad, but people are walking around on their phones making public calls on speakerphone or FaceTiming at a concert. How about that? I was at an Elton John concert once upon a time. Let's not get into why I was at an Elton John concert, but let's just say that the guy in front of me at the concert was FaceTiming with a woman in her kitchen eating a bowl of cereal at 8 o'clock at night who was enjoying the concert. And all I could see, not Elton John, but all I could see was this woman in her bathrobe eating Fruit Loops. That bugged me. Trent Walker, Oregon State wide receiver, joining us now. Do you have a peeve? Do you have something that bothers you that, you know, kind of gets under your skin a little bit?
What's up, man? Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. I think one of my biggest pet peeves is when I miss a call from a buddy or someone. And I immediately call him back, like not even 30 seconds, and then I get sent a voicemail. It's like, bro, where'd you go? I just called you back.
I love that. And do you think you're being punished? That he's like, he didn't answer my call, I'm not going to answer his call.
I think it's almost like, whatever, I don't even need anything anymore.
I'm over it already. Do people your age ever leave a voicemail?
Nah, I can't tell you last time I got a voicemail from a buddy or...
If I left you a voicemail, would you even listen to it?
Yeah, I would listen to it. I think nowadays, though, like on my iPhone, it like turns it into a text message, so I could read it if I wanted to, too.
I love that. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that's true. I read the voicemails. I don't answer them. Here's what I want to do, Trent. I'm going to have you on. I got some questions for you, but I want to open up the phone lines and let our listeners get a chance to talk to you. You know, a guy who's had... you know, a great season despite what's going on around him, and obviously a wonderful career at Oregon State despite, you know, the changes with conference and coaching and all that has happened in your tenure. But we'll open the phone lines as well. If you have a question for Trent Walker, the wide receiver at Oregon State, here's your chance to pepper him with a question or even a comment at 503-417-7575. Yeah, you know, if you've enjoyed watching him play, this is a good time to tell him that. Trent, let me ask you, man. Look, it didn't get the result you wanted last week. That locker room must have been brutal going in after the Sam Houston loss. But how quickly do you guys kind of regroup, or have you regrouped?
Yeah, I think that was definitely one of, a tough one. I think that was an all time low in my career as a football player. But you got to turn the page as soon as possible. I always tell the guys in the receiver room that you get 24 hours after the game, and then you got to move on. So I think it might have taken a little longer than 24 hours, but coming back to work on Tuesday, I felt like guys were ready to go again.
I'm going to go to Freddie, who's in Central Point. Freddie's going to share with us, Trent, his pee. Oh, sorry, that wasn't Freddie. That's my bad. That was my bad. See, there's my peef. Freddie, you're on. Freddie, you're on with Trent Walker and myself. What's your peef?
JC, Trent, how you doing? So, okay, so I got multiples here. Going to an away game and you stand when, you know, Oregon's offense is on the field because that's what they do, like at the whiteout. But when Penn State comes out and you stand up and you yell your head off, everybody thinks you're annoying. Number two. Do I get a number two?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, you're at the crosswalk, and the person, I won't say the age, they just basically take baby steps. They're on their phone, picking their nose to get to the other side.
Yeah, too slow.
On the crosswalk. And let's just say this is the final one. Let's just say I'm in my over 50 age group, and Trent, you'll never do this when you're older, but I'm in that decade where when I want to play basketball, dudes just want to do half court. It's so much easier to do full court. Okay, I'm
yeah.
out.
Yeah, there you go. Where do you stand on half court versus full court basketball, Trent Walker?
I'm a full court guy, too.
Yeah, that's the workout. That's the point of playing, isn't it? Like, playing half court. It's I think there's more skill involved in a half court game. You got to, you know, there's a little more skill. Steven, are you good with that?
Yeah, I'm good with that. I wanted to ask Trent Walker what his game is like in basketball, because he's tall. He's a tall dude. Like, is he an inside guy, outside guy? Because you're what, 6'2", 6'3"? Like, I'm 6'2". I'm a guard.
Are you that tall, Trent? You're listed that tall. What's your real height?
I'm 6'2", right on the dot. We had, before the season started, we had some guys from the NFL come and measure us, all our seniors, and they got me at 6'2" on the dot with no shoes.
I was going to say, with or without shoes, that's a big question.
Yeah, what's your game like in basketball?
I would say I kind of fit the stereotype. I'm a good shooter. I got some good handles. In high school, I was more of like a thrasher, and I played guard.
There you go.
Sneaky athleticism. Steven, that just means white guy.
Yeah. All right. So when you give us an idea, you got this game at Tulsa. What do you see on film when you look at it, Tulsa?
Yeah, they're a good group. They play a lot of quarters. They press a lot on the perimeter. They got some big guys in the box. You know, you got to respect every opponent, but we're going into this one excited and trying to get a road game.
I am interested, you know, health-wise, you healthy? How is the team in general? I know that there's always concern about injuries and giving away too much information, but the general health of this team right now, where are you guys?
Yeah, I mean, this late in the season, of course, there's going to be some guys banged up and whatnot. So I think, to be general, I think we're pretty healthy, but obviously we are missing a few pieces here and there.
I am, you know, Rob Akey, your interim coach, came on, and, you know, I kind of came at him right out of the gates, and I told him, like, you know, that was brutal to watch the way that unfolded, and, you know, a lot of fans were disappointed, and I felt like you guys should have won the game, and it's, you know, I don't think there's any frustration that is greater than what you guys are feeling, though. So What was that like to go into the locker room after that game? And you know, does it get any easier, or are they all painful when you know the season's going the way it's gone?
No, it definitely doesn't get any easier. That one was tough. I couldn't even look at my teammates in the eyes because I felt like I let them down, especially on that fourth down, the last play of the game. The pass got broken up, but I felt like I could have ran a better route to get myself more open. So I couldn't even look at dudes in the eyes. I went straight to the back of the locker room in like the tunnel area and just sat there for a while, especially with it being my senior night and whatnot. That one was tough. I said earlier that was probably an all-time low.
You are, you've got a couple opportunities here left, and you're going to get another shot at Washington State, who you've already beat. What would it mean to you guys to finish 2-0 in these next two?
Yeah, anytime you can finish the season strong and carry that into the offseason, I think it's good for the program and the university. It's going to be real nice going down to Pullman and beating them twice in 1 year.
I know this is a hard one, but have you made a decision on what you're going to do next year? You know, what's left for you? What are you thinking about? You know, I'm sure that a lot can happen in the next couple of weeks, but where's your head right now?
Yeah. The ultimate goal of mine is to play in the NFL. So I'll see where I kind of stand on that, where teams see me. I haven't made a decision yet. I do got that extra year coming back. So yeah, I haven't made a decision yet. I think I might take a vacation away from football first week of December and kind of try to figure it out.
Where are you going to go?
I haven't decided yet. Hopefully somewhere sunny like Florida, Hawaii.
Florida's a long way to go, and you don't is there friends or family in Florida, or I would go to Hawaii.
Yeah, I got some buddies in Florida. My freshman year roommate actually is moving out there. But I know my girlfriend's been bugging me to go to Hawaii.
You're going to Hawaii, I can tell you already. All right, Jamba, have you tried the acai bowls at Jamba yet? I hear they're to die for.
Yeah, I've had them in the past. I recently just tried Aloha pineapple smoothie over there. That was pretty good.
There you go, Aloha pineapple. I'll say aloha to you now, Trent Walker. Take care of yourself. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, appreciate you.
All right, there he goes. That was fun. We had fun with that. It's not always easy, you know, when Oregon State's having a tough year, Portland State's having a tough year. It's not always easy to do these interviews, folks. Don't feel bad for me, but I'm looking at that guy. He comes on every week, and he says he went to the back of the locker room. Are you kidding me? He's got nothing to be ashamed of.
He blamed himself.
Yeah,
the last guy to blame himself for anything.
I was sitting here shaking my head going, no. That's not where I would put
it. It shows the type of leader he is, man. The type of dude that he is. Like, he's going to put it all on his shoulders no matter what.
Punch and audio coming up. Ann Cudd, Portland State president, 5 at 5. We're taking you right into NFL football. Leave it here.
Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I've been told before that I specialize in awkward moments. I don't know if it's necessarily an awkward moment, but I don't mind. I don't mind just having the moment be awkward. Sometimes an awkward moment is telling. It tells you everything you need to know, you know, about what's going on. And in part, like today's show is a great example. I guess some Yahoo the other day who was like, you know, oh, I was talking about how this show is different, and some Yahoo the other day who just doesn't get it, who, by the way, happened to listen to like the first hour and a half of the show and then went on social media, created a fake profile, and posted all about the first hour and a half of the show, like criticizing the hour and a half of the show. I'm literally like, how little of a life do you have to create a profile that's fake to vent about something that you don't have the guts to put your own face and name to,
and do it like passive aggressively behind the scenes. And I actually figured out who the person was. And it's just, I'm literally like, this today's show is a great example of how different the show is. And by the way, if it's not for you, you shouldn't be listening to it. Like, you should probably tune out if the show isn't for you. If you've made it this far on today's show, then it's for you and you get it and you're in the club. If it's not, don't go through the effort of creating a fake social media profile and trying to passive aggressively get whatever it is that you can't as a real person get off your chest and post it on social media about the show. Nobody cares. I don't even care. I don't even care to try to remove it. Like, just leave it. Like, I don't even care, and nobody cares. So I'm just saying, today's show really is different. It's a great example of that. The callers that have called in have been fantastic. Trent Walker playing along, fantastic. The conversation here has been real and authentic and good and interesting. I'm highly engaged in what is going on in the show today, and it will continue with this interview that's coming up. It's a taped interview with Ann Cudd, Portland State president, coming up in just a few minutes. And again, I'm going to say this again for like the umpteenth time. I like that she came on the show. I respect that she came on the show. I actually, if I were advising her, would say, you did good coming on the show. You helped yourself. But damn it, where's your AD? Your AD should have done this interview. On that note, Stephen, I want to knock out a little bit of Punch It audio. And this is another example of how this show is different. We don't have time to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced Truth headquarters.
Hey, we're all about truth, justice, and the American way here, okay? Which is why we've spanned the globe and pulled the top audio cuts of the day.
You're going to hear little snippets of sound.
Hey, it's time for Punch It Audio.
Presented by First Call Heating and Cooling.
Jim Harbaugh, Chargers coach, giving an update on his quarterback, Justin Herbert.
I do have an update on his physical status. He is still a beast.
Jim Harbaugh in his khakis. With dad jokes. Rick Pitino, meanwhile, talking about gambling and sports.
Well, I think these prop bets are bad. You know, you how many rebounds you get and things like that. And now you're with your cousin and your friend, and he says something to one of the players. I do think it's good to let the players wager on professional sports. I do think that's a good rule because I think they're doing it now. And rather than them getting in trouble, I think they do it through their friends, you know, where they bet an NFL game or whatever it may be. I said, so I think the more you bring everything to light, the better off you'll be. But I don't like these prop bets where players, you know, get so many rebounds, so many assists, so many steals. I don't think that's good for the game. But
Rick Pitino spitting some truth there. The prop bets are bad. Also, it's not just friends and family members. Sometimes it's your interpreter. Paul Feinbaum with some fiery words for the group of five. Nothing like a bully act.
This is supposed to be about excellence, not about being fair. This is not the little leagues where we give a second, third, fourth, and fifth place trophy. This should be the best. It's already a convoluted system because we let the group of whatever in, the group of five with South Florida, and they have no business. That conference, that division really has no business playing. That's like letting the AAA best team in to the Major League playoffs. It doesn't happen in any other sport.
Oh, nothing says snobbery like an SEC honk saying the group of five does not belong in this room. Meanwhile, Dan Orlovsky saying Ohio State is the least challenged number one team ever. Ever.
The Ohio State's really good. They're the least tested number one team in the history of college football. They've played nobody. I mean, week one, Texas. Ever since then, they haven't played anybody. I don't know if they played a team that's ranked right now since Texas. They have been trailing for 1 second in the second half this year. We have no idea who this Ohio State team, very good team, quarterback's a really good player. Jeremiah Smith's best player in college football. We have no idea who Ohio State is, like down four in the fourth quarter.
Well, I don't know. I mean, there have been some really bad number one teams historically, particularly when, you know, the BCS was picking the number one teams. I saw a really bad Nebraska team play for a national championship against
South
Miami.
Florida? Wasn't like South Florida number one, something like that, like in 2011, maybe something like that against Rutgers?
It's a dumb thing to say, like the worst number one in history, because we've only had this 12-team playoff for a little while.
Charles Barkley giving Nico Harrison a pass.
But the thing that bothers me is he's just being made a scapegoat. Listen, Shaq knows this. Kenny knows this. There's no way in the world Nico Harrison had the power to trade Luka Doncic unless the owner of the team signed
Patrick Dumont.
Yes. That was his call. So I feel bad the way Nico is being made a scapegoat. But anybody who knows anything about basketball know good and well Nico Harrison did not have enough power to trade Luka Doncic. So that's the thing that bothers me.
Yeah, but Nico knows the job when he signs on for the job. I mean, you take on the responsibility. You're the general manager. You know, ultimately, if it's going to cost you your job, you've got to push back. He made the deal. He's got to live with the deal. Ann Cudd, president, Portland State. You'll hear my interview with her next.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Portland State is playing a home football game at Providence Park Saturday, 2 o'clock. The Ducks, they're playing a Friday night game. The Beavers, they're out of town. You have no excuse if you want to see a college football game. It is Portland State hosting Montana. Montana is number 2 in the FCS poll. This is going to be a big football game for Montana. It's a big game for Portland State as well. There's a lot up in the air. Bruce Barnum's contract status. He's got 1 year left on his contract. It runs through the end of 2026. Barnum certainly up in the air. He's got a one-win football team. I wanted to talk to his athletic director, Matt Billings. I have been trying to get Billings to come on the show. The guy is gone into witness relocation. He has no interest. That's all I can take away, that he has no interest in ever being on the show or having a platform or a connection with potential fans and donors. And so he's left it to his football coach, Bruce Barnum, and his president, Ann Cudd, to do all of the talking for him. I had a sit-down interview with Ann Cudd earlier today. I want you to hear the audio of it. I think it is fascinating. It starts with me asking her to make a pitch for people to show up at the game, and it ends abruptly as I ask a couple of times about the contract status and the job status for her football coach, Bruce Barnum. I want you to kind of sit and listen to this a couple of different ways. Listen to it from a fan or donor perspective. If you are considering supporting Portland State Athletics, do you gain confidence from hearing Ann Cudd, the president of Portland State, talk about athletics? And then secondarily, listen to it as if you are Bruce Barnum, the Portland State football coach. You played this impossible schedule this season. You've got your teeth kicked in. You are trying to win football games. Your scholarships are half scholarships. Your athletic department's funding about $5 million a year pales in comparison to the $8 or $9 million that the schools in your conference, at the top of your conference, are paying. You have no NIL collective. Good luck. Go out and win football games. I'm going to ask the president. You're going to hear me ask the president in this interview about the job security of Bruce Barnum. I want you to ask yourself, do you go into Saturday's game feeling as though you've got the support of your administration? Fair question. Without further ado, I will give you that interview. Here's my conversation with Ann Cudd, president, Portland State. Make a pitch for Portland State fans to get out to the game.
Oh, well, we have not played a game in Providence Park since 2018, and this is a true homecoming, in every regard. We are excited. We've got a lot of good programming around the whole game. There's going to be a Viking fan fest. We're going to be honoring Mouse Davis, talk about a great legacy. You know, Portland is a creative, innovative, wonderful city. And Mouse Davis's, invention, well, or at least, real promotion of the run and shoot offense is just, that can't be beat. So there's that legacy. We're also giving away really cool scarves to the first 1,000 fans. It'll be family friendly. We'll have an alumni beer garden. And then we're playing the number 2 team in the FCS. So I know they're going to bring some fans. We're going to have, all of our suites are sold out, and we're going to have a good set of fans there. So I think it's going to be exciting. We just need the weather to hold out, and we'll be great.
Yeah, what you're really talking to now is kind of the walk-up fan who doesn't have plans. And again, You know, there's no Oregon game. Oregon's playing on a Friday night. Oregon State is out of town. So it was very strategic. But is this something you want to do? I mean, do you want to play these games at Providence Park annually? Or what is the sort of the strategy?
Yeah, so when I first came here, you know, the first thing I sort of said to my athletic director at the time, John Johnson, I said, you know, we need to play in Portland. We need to figure out how we can do that because we are Portland State. We're grateful for Hillsborough Stadium, you know, accommodating us, but we need to find a way to play in Portland. So we started talking about, you know, could we play a game in Providence Park or maybe a game every year in Providence Park? And could that be a kind of proof of concept of the ability of Portland to support Portland State Athletics and the Vikings? So that's the start of that. I'm really grateful to Heather Davis, CEO of the Timbers, for working with us to fit us into their schedule this year. And she and I have had discussions about, you know, the next couple of years of a game. But she's really open to anything that we really can make work. So we need fans. We need some backing from the city. We need backing from our donors. And I think we're starting off with a really good show.
It looks like, you know, you'll get a good Montana crowd. The football season has not been as exciting or productive as probably you'd hoped. Where are you at with, you know, this being maybe a last opportunity for some of these seniors and maybe a first and last opportunity for some of these seniors to play a game at Providence Park?
Yeah, no, I think it's really great for them. I think they're really excited about it. You know, I get to talk to the players every now and then, and they all seem to know me. They say hello on the park blocks when they see me. And, you know, they're a great bunch of kids. So I'm really pleased that we can do this with them. Hopefully this isn't the last time. You know, that's not in the plan. The plan is we have a great turnout and we do this year after year until we can find an even perhaps better place to play in Portland.
This is a big opportunity for people in the area to show up and support Portland State Athletics. And I've crowed for a long time about the, you know, the Vikings needing to play inside that stadium. And your football coach has got 1 year left on his deal. Where are you with Bruce mm-hmm. Barnum? And you know, I get it. It's a really tough task for him to play the schedule he's playing, and the circumstances are difficult. Where are you with football right now?
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't really want to talk about personnel decisions before they've been made, or talk about them, you know, with the press before we've decided what to do. But, you know, Matt has been evaluating the coaching staffs of all the different teams. He's already made some moves, as you alluded to. And we will, at the end of the season, evaluate where we're at with football and what we think we need to do to make this a really great experience for our students.
Yeah, I think, you know, as I look at the schedule, I don't know if Vince Lombardi could have won those first four games or so. I think it puts the program in a tough spot. You know, mm-hmm. scholarships within your league and funding within your league, your own league in the Big Sky, you know, mm-hmm. you're 10th or 11th when it comes to athletic department budget. The scholarships are half scholarships. Is that something that needs mm-hmm. to be looked at, or is that just kind of the reality of, you know, 2025 on, you know, on a campus like Portland State?
Yeah, no, I really do believe we need to raise our game in that way. I will also say that right now, in terms of institutional funding, we are near the top of the Big Sky. So in other words, what we're lacking is the donor and ticket sales revenue, right? And that comes from winning. And that comes from, you know, putting on a really good show. So, you know, we're in it to win it. We're in it to be competitive in the Big Sky so that our students have a great experience. And you're right, these guarantee games, they're killing us. And so we do want to, as we move forward, reduce the number of guarantee games where we're totally outmatched by FBS opponents. the FCS, being competitive in FCS is definitely within our possibility. And we need, you know, we do need donor support. But as we get better in all of our sports and start to raise our ticket revenue from all of the sports, I believe that we'll have the kind of investment dollars that we need.
Basketball. Of course. Go ahead.
Yeah. NIL is challenging.
Yeah.
It's created an arms race, especially when you add that to the unlimited transfer portal. I'm hoping that we'll get some congressional relief on that.
That's a good point with NIL dollars. I mean, you look at the Montana schools in Idaho and UC Davis, and you see, you know, collectives that are coming in and really helping with roster retention and recruiting. It is a tough, a little bit of a chicken and an egg, though, that you, when you talk about, hey, we need to, you know, we need to fund, but, you know, you're kind of, the model right now has been set up to play these games that you can't win. And if you can't win, you're right, you're not going to draw the enthusiasm and the crowds that you can do. Besides scheduling strategy, which it looks like next year's schedule includes, you know, a lighten load when it comes to those guarantee games. Besides that, institutional funding, you know, where can you do better? Where can you do better externally? Is, you know, all these colleges are trying to do that.
Yeah, it's true. Well, we have a real legacy of football here, and we want to get the donors excited about that. I think that, you know, one great step is bringing back Miles Davis to this game. I hope that that really excites both his former players and others who, you know, can hearken back to that great era. We've had a lot of great eras, actually, of Viking football, and hopefully people see this game as an investment in football and something that's lighting a spark. Everybody wants to, you know, first of all, root for the underdog and then see the underdog actually win. So, you know, we've got some hope there.
And I appreciate this. Appreciate you doing this. I think the one area where I'm going to push back a little bit is on, you know, the contract status with Bruce Barnum. He's got one more year. I just don't know if anybody would have been successful given the circumstances. And you inherited this, so this is not on you. I think, you know, you inherited sort of the trend. And I think there's been corrections in basketball already. But what can be done there in a football perspective? If you punt the decision on Barnum to one more year, does that buy you some time, or do you have to do something now to kind of change the tone in the room?
Yeah. I'm not going to comment any further on the coaching, the future of the coaching personnel.
Okay. That's fair. Okay. That's fine. Yeah, it's fine. I mean, you know, I have to ask, right? I mean, it's not.
Yeah,
it's my job.
I got it.
Yeah, John. Unfortunately, we're pretty tight on time.
Yeah, me too. I got to run. I got to run. Appreciate you guys. Thank you. I'm tight on time.
Hey, I appreciate all your support.
Yeah,
John.
I got to run too. Thank you. All thanks, right. Guys. Okay. Bye.
Good luck.
And there you heard it. There's my interview with Ann Cudd, the Portland State president. I think she wants to fashion herself as caring about sports, and I like that. She's more tuned in than her predecessors. And I meant what I said, that she inherited part of the problem at Portland State. There is a systemic issue there that Portland State's got to figure out what it wants to be from an athletic department standpoint, and it must figure that out before it decides. I think even, you know, is Bruce Barnum the coach next season? Is it somebody else's turn? Barnum, if he hears that interview, probably is going to walk away going, holy hell, I got to win this game on Saturday against Montana. Or maybe sounds like they may even have their mind made up, even though they didn't say they had their mind made up. It has been a really tough season. The resources are a factor. You know, the president at Portland State saying, hey, look, your football program's getting all kinds of internal support. But the real issue for Portland State is an external issue. And it has been part of my ongoing frustration with Matt Billings, the athletic director at Portland State, who got hired and then disappeared. He went into hiding, went into witness relocation. He's not been on this show. He's the only athletic director in the history since I have been here who has not taken the platform and the opportunity to come on this show. I am told that he has not been a frequent, visible external athletic director at fundraising events. He is not going to the Sport Oregon board meetings. It doesn't seem interested in the external part of the job. And it's just baffling to me that, you know, they are, you know, basically closing the office door at Portland State in the athletic department and leaving the football program out there to kind of do the only messaging and basketball program to do the only messaging. There's a lot of positive things going on at Portland State. I do encourage people to go out to the game and support the football team. I mean, I think Portland State's administration certainly is looking at the attendance figures that they will get or not get on Saturday at 2 o'clock at Providence Park, and probably going to form a big part of the picture moving forward as far as whether or not, you know, they play more games. They're going to take away the attendance figures from Saturday and go, okay, is the juice worth the squeeze? This is a one-win football team. There's no way around that. And Bruce Barnum's team has an opportunity against Montana on Saturday to prove that, you know, it's playing for its coach. We'll see. We'll see what the Vikings do. It's the number two team in the FCS polls. This goes, you know, if you look up and down the top 10, I think they played five or six of the top 10 teams in the FCS. And they played, obviously, the payday games against schools like Tarleton State and BYU. And I think it's been a really tough go of things for Bruce Barnum and the Vikings this season. You know where I stand on that. He's got 1 year remaining on his deal. But I think if Bruce Barnum listens to that interview, you know, Ann Cudd, the president at Portland State, had every opportunity there to come out and be like, hey, I'm supporting my coach. Hey, we're standing by him. Hey, we recognize that the circumstances are impossible. She didn't say that. You know, I think if I'm Bruce Barnum, I'm feeling like I have to go out and win these last two games. And even then, it may be decided. Our 5 at 5 is coming up. And by the way, is there anything like more obnoxious than saying, I've got to run, I'm so busy? I don't know. I used to tell people, oh, I'm so busy, I'm so busy, I'm so busy. And then I realized how that sounds to other people out there. Oh, I'm so busy, I got to go. That's why at the end of that interview, as they're going, hey, we're short on time. You can hear her PR person, you know, coming in. Hey, we're short on time because I'm asking what repeatedly about the coach's contract. I can see the hand signals going on behind the scenes, like cut this thing off. I love that. I'm like, hey, I know I'm busy. I'm busy. I got a timeline to keep. And I do. I have a timeline to keep because the 5 at 5 is coming up next. Leave it here. You have the bald faced truth. I'm here for you. Nobody else. Hey, it's
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights. Here's John Canzano with the bald faced truth.
Well, my man, Stephen Vaughn, I got to know what you thought of my interview with Ann Cudd, the Portland State president. First of all, can I say I appreciate that she came on the show to begin with? Like, you know, it's not a comfortable thing. They're trying to promote their game against Montana, but football coach has got one win and athletic director is in witness relocation. He's hiding out, forces his president to come out and be the only one talking about the game. What'd you make of that? What'd you make of the interview?
Well, the first thought, John, was the D'Lo Shea water bottle incident back in the day when everyone asked about the Chauncey Billups hire.
Yeah.
He drinks the water bottle. The PR has to fight in and say, hey, no more questions about Chauncey. That was my first thought, is that, like, look, man, like, you know, the funny part, John, is you've had so much, such a hard time getting her on the show. And you've tried to interview her. Like, you want to boost Portland State. Like, you have no problems with Portland State. You want to see them do well.
Yeah.
And you've wanted her on the program. You finally get her. And then she doesn't want to answer the questions and they cut you off. I thought it was interesting. I love the fact that you then jumped back and said, no, I'm the busy one. Like, you know what?
Who's busy now? I'll give her a break. I mean, I reached out to her and her person who you hear in the background, Christina, her communications person, you know, scheduled the interview. But your athletic director, the fact that your athletic director has not been on this show since getting hired, the fact that he's been invited multiple times to come on the show, the fact that you've got a football game at Providence Park against Montana on Saturday and your AD is MIA, man, how is, you know, I'm frustrated to start this interview and I know the president has to be frustrated. It shouldn't be her job to stand out there and have to answer questions about the, you know, the football coach's contract. That's the AD's job. Where's the AD? He's busier than she is.
Like, I mean, if you're a Portland State supporter, John, like, you can't be happy with what you were hearing there.
No. And the sad thing is, like, I think people should go to this game. And you know, like, I know, like, you know, Anna and the kids are going to the game, right? They're gonna go and support, and they're gonna be there. And a lot of you know, kids in the community who have been helped by Portland State football players are gonna go to the game. You know, I think anybody who wants to go see a college football game on Saturday, 2 o'clock, hopefully the weather holds up. You know, go to Providence Park and support Portland State. Like, I don't want that to be the byproduct here, because the sad thing would be if nobody showed up and nobody supported. It's not the fault of the players. And look, Bruce Barnum and his team, you know, they're playing for something. And you know, it's a great opportunity for Portland State to make a little bit of a statement. But I think the AD is all wrong for Portland State. I am baffled by that whole dynamic. Matt Billings, how he is the AD at Portland State, I have no idea why that went the way it did. And I would be really surprised if Ann Cudd was happy with him. She's the president. It's not her job. Like, this is like, go be the dean of your department. Go take care of business. But isn't it a peeve, though, when someone goes, I'm so busy, I got to go?
It certainly seemed like it was you guys were a couple, and you're like, I'm going to break up with you. No, I broke up with you. Like, it was a fight of who could get out of there first, out of the relationship. But yeah, no, it's like, look, you're too busy. Okay, well, then don't even come on and don't do the interview. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, we're all busy. Like, you just make a little time. Don't have to make it, you know.
I also think it's funny because that they're cutting off the interview not because she's busy. They're cutting it off because she didn't want to answer any more questions about Bruce Barnum. They're done. We've done our promotion. We're out of here. So I don't blame the communications person, and I don't blame the president, but it was kind of funny. I was mildly amused. And by the way, we get Greg Sankey on this show, Tony Petitti on this show. We get, President Obama's been on this show. Mike Tyson's been on this show. Like, we can get just about anybody on the show. Mark Few's coming on later this week or next week, Gonzaga coach. We certainly should be able to get the Portland State athletic director. He's not that busy, is he?
It's good to see you still got it, though, John. You haven't had one of those interviews for a minute. So I'm kind of proud of you that you got it, though.
This was old times. All right. This leads us into the 5 at 5, 5 biggest stories going on. Let's do it.
The show yesterday, you would have known this a day before it actually came out. The John Canzano Baldface Truth After Dark. Pac-12 new media deal is out. The USA Network, as you reported yesterday, will be featuring regular season football, men's basketball, and women's basketball for the new Pac-12, beginning with the league's launch in 2026-27. Now, it's going to be a 5-year deal. This will include 22 regular season football games each season, 50 regular season men's basketball games, 5 to 10 regular season women's basketball games each season. And USA Sports will also be the home to the men's Pac-12 basketball tournament leading up to the championship game, which will be on CBS. So 100% of U.S. television households via national over-the-air broadcast networks, CBS and the CW, or cable, satellite, over-the-top streaming on national cable networks and CBS Sports Network and USA Network are available for all football games. So in the world now that we're living in, where you can't even watch ESPN, you can't watch some games, the Pac-12 going opposite. They're saying, look, you can watch all our games by doing this with this new Pac-12 media deal. I love it.
Look, all of their partners offer them broad distribution. One thing they're not getting here is they're not getting the glow of the shoulder programming of Fox and ESPN. We all know how powerful and noisy that can be for the SEC and for the Big Ten. But I, you know, as I talked to Pac-12 sources, they told me, look, we were going to be the number 3 or number 4 partner for them. We're not going to get the full glow anyway. So why not go with the CW? Why not go with USA Network and try to grow with them and try to build a little bit of that with them? The other thing that's interesting here is they're going to have no 6-day and no 12-day windows. They're going to set kickoff times in the summer. So you're going to know prior to the season what time these games are kicking off. It is a little bit wonky because, you know, do the networks necessarily know who the good teams are before the games start? That's why those 6-day and 12-day windows exist with ESPN and Fox. But Pac-12, I think, getting a pretty good deal here. And, you know, one more piece to go with the Olympic sports, but I think it'll be ESPN Plus, or it'll be maybe the Pac-12 streaming those Olympic sports.
Number 2.
All right, John, number 2. Speaking of ESPN and the college football playoff, Baylor athletic director Mac Rhodes, he is taking a leave of absence while there's an internal investigation going on by the school. And this was confirmed to Yahoo Sports that Rhodes began his leave on Wednesday, a day after he appeared on the College Football Playoff Rankings show on ESPN. Of course, Rhodes is the CFP committee chair for this season, but now he is on leave at Baylor. According to sources, second investigation here for Mac Rhodes at Baylor. It is a potential violation of school policies. Baylor commented that it's a personal matter and an ongoing investigation, so they won't be going into details. But Rich Brooks, the CFP executive director, said that Rhodes will also step down from his role as the CFP committee chair. Yes, he's the committee chair. He has to step down as the chair, and they may or may not replace him on the 12-person crew of the College Football Playoff Committee seating board.
Yeah, look, he's in trouble, and I think keep an eye on Jeremiah Dickey, the Boise State athletic director. He's got ties to Baylor. He'd be my pick to get the inside track on that job when it opens.
Number three.
All right, John, number three. Speaking of media deals, MLS, remember, they are on Apple TV Plus with a subscription that you had to have to watch it. Well, starting next year, they're taking that away. And all you have to do is have an Apple TV subscription, and you can watch every Major League Soccer game, including regular season, League Cup, All-Star Game, and the MLS Cup playoffs with that standalone Apple TV subscription. And I think this is, it kind of goes in to what we're all seeing right now with YouTube TV and ESPN. We see it with the Pac-12. They're making everything more viewable for their fans. You have to do this now, especially if you're not the biggest conferences, you're not the biggest leagues. Make your sport worthwhile to watch and make it available for people to watch. I actually love what the MLS is doing. I tuned in to the Timbers playoff game over the weekend. They lost really quickly, but it was nice to know, like, look, I can flip on Apple TV and watch it. I think it's a good move by MLS.
Yeah, look, it's all about distribution. If it isn't about revenue, it's about exposure.
Number four.
Well, John, the Blazers were on a two-game losing streak. They won last night in New Orleans, beating the Pelicans 123-115, or 125-117. My man Shaedon Sharpe dominated 35 points, 13 of 18 shooting. But today, the Blazers announced that young big man Hanson Young, or Young Hanson, will be assigned to the Rip City Remix. Hanson, he will be available to play for the Remix on Friday and on Sunday for the Remix. He's gotten very little playing time this year, playing in five games, averaging less than 6 minutes per game. We kind of saw this coming, but he struggled in his little bit that he's played, but he'll be with the Remix. Hopefully he gets some development down there.
Look, this is great. I think Blazer fans are excited about this team and excited about seeing where this season goes.
Number five.
And finally, we got Thursday football. That's why we're heading out a little bit early. Not the greatest of games. Sometimes these standalone games aren't great for the NFL, but the Jets are at the Patriots. Drake May, MVP favorite right now in the NFL. Excited to watch him play against the New York Jets.
Look, I'm excited about Thursday night football. I'm excited about the weekend. We have a great show planned for tomorrow. Thanks to Trent Walker for coming on the show today. Thanks to Portland State President Ann Cudd for dealing with me. I know. I'm so busy. I'm so important. Don't be that person. Don't. I used to be that person. Don't be like, oh, I'm so busy for everyone else. I gotta go. Anyway, we're back with a new show tomorrow. Oregon playing at Minnesota tomorrow night. We'll talk a lot about that Ducks football game. The Bald-Faced Truth, not here for a long time. Just a good time. Have a great night, everybody.